One of several emails we received to the show last week from Ruth, who is a parent of a primary school child, and she says, I'm contacting you in relation to the mandatory masking of children and the detrimental impact on their development. We sent our 9-year-old, happy young man, to his small country school during the week, to be later told by him that his teacher gave him a mask to put on. It made him feel dizzy and he found it hard to breathe. I have kept him at home today when I send this message to you. It's an absolute disgrace. How dare this government inflict this on our kids? Next it will be those from first class up, then the juniors, then the preschoolers. Wake up, parents. And as I say, we've had several such contacts from parents across the region in relation to this. And the Department of Education, I note this morning, has now revised its instruction issues to schools last week, directing that older children should be refused entry to primary schools if they decline to wear a mask without good medical reason. The controversy continues, and the memo sent in relation to those over 9 years old having to wear masks still stands. No, there hasn't been any decision to rescind that particular directive. On the line now, we have a number of people who want to comment on this. Mary T. Sweeney from County Donegal is on the line. She's a member of the Aintu party. Strongly of the opinion, Mary T., that parents should be the ones to have the right in relation to the wearing of face masks or not. Is that right?
The priority here is, why was there no engagement with the parents and the teaching bodies and the teachers on the ground in advance of this rush notice being put through? This is again the confusion and the chaos that we're seeing being put through from government today. It's like almost like being in Back to the Future. You have to try and think, where am I at now with rules and regulations and laws? Why was there no engagement with parents? It's common sense. Are we totally lacking common sense that you could try and introduce something like this that so many different bodies have come out against, and concerns on both sides of the argument must be listened to and weighed up, and that should have happened.
But are parents best placed to make a decision on this when at the end of the day it's the welfare of the kids and indeed their families?
Of course, the parents that have contacted me on both sides, but the parents that have contacted me that don't want their children wearing masks are many of those. There was a great example in the Irish Times at the weekend of the mother whose child has got grommets in the ears, has to wear a hearing implant and depends on voice lip reading to accentuate her hearing and her ability to communicate. So can you imagine the fiasco and the fear of that child going into a classroom at 9 years of age that can no longer lip read her peers, that can no longer engage in the conversation by watching the teacher's mouth move and the kids? We need to look at the problems and the people that wear glasses, children at 9 that the glasses are steaming up, they're being teased and bullied by their peers in the classroom.
But there has been allowances for that, and there can be medical reasons why children don't have to wear face masks, as we know, and those who feel there's a case for exemption can...
There must be greater flexibility in doctor surgeries in Sligo, because the parents are telling me in Donegal, and this is one of the reasons they're so concerned, is the doctors have refused to engage for the whole, not all, but many have refused to engage in issuing where their kids have asthma, where they have what the parents feel are medical abstinence reasons that the doctors haven't engaged, and they can't even get appointments to see doctors.
Yeah, well, I think that's half the problem. Maybe they are refusing to engage. Our information is that they were snowed under with people contacting them last week.
Totally agree with that. But maybe
for not all the correct medical reasons. But that's a separate argument. But do you see any merit in all in the decision?
Parents should, the children are in pods in the classroom, and if parents really, really feel vulnerable and they feel their child is capable of wearing a mask, but this should not, at any stage, should be a definitive. That if a child in the middle of the day feels claustrophobic, feels restricted in their breathing, then there should be no pressure put on that child that they can't remove their mask. They can remove it when it's dinner time. They can remove it when it's playtime. So, you know, the pressure on children. Where are the educational psychologists in this argument? I would like to see the reports from the studies. Aintu have asked for studies on why this has been recommended, and as yet we have received no advice from the government on what recommendations or what scientific evidence were they using to base this. This contravenes everything that the parents have been told for somewhere in the region of over in excess of 12 months. Children are not vectors. Children don't carry. Children don't transmit in the general. And if they did transmit, it would be so low in the viral load that it would be insignificant.
Okay, well,
I think it's a preemptive decision that's been rushed through, which is obvious by the retraction this morning and the wording of the article this morning and the RTE report on it is concerning for me as well.
In what way? It's a clarification more so than going back in what they said. The rules still apply for over 9 years old, but they've revised their instruction that older children, if they refuse to wear masks, would be refused entry to schools.
The principals and the teachers in the school should also have been engaged with. Principals have come out against this. They feel the evidence and some of the scientific evidence, and I'm not saying if it's right or wrong, I'm just saying it's there present, that all science must be looked at on both sides of the argument. And the science is saying that there's a 23% drop, which is attributed in part to the exclusion and face mask wearing for young children in the Brown University study. The Bernardos have come out against children wearing masks because there's concerns about developmental speech development, about facial recognition, about being able to read a situation. And there's three areas of developmental assessment that have been looked at, verbal, non-verbal, and early learning composite. Not me, the scientists are saying there's concerns here. So we need to look at these concerns, weigh up the argument and use common sense.
Okay, a couple of comments coming in. This listener points out that children in America wear masks, face masks, all the time in schools. You'd wonder if the children sometimes have more sense than their parents. And someone else says most children don't mind wearing masks. It would be worse if the schools had to close again. And I'm sure you wouldn't disagree with that. That's the worst case scenario.
It was a study from the American Children, the Brown study, that said that there's been a 23% drop in development in this age group of children, in the young age group of children from 0 to 5. You know, so this is where it started. And as I say, I'm only looking for open discussion and debate here. I'm looking for common sense. That the real concern for me is how this is pitting the community, the school communities, against each other. This is really unhealthy and needs to be stopped. We need to engage people, bring them together, and stop dividing our communities. It's horrific what's going on in the communities.
Okay.
The fear-mongering, dividing, you know, who wears, who doesn't wear. We need to try and calm the situation down and bring parents together.
Okay,
and start looking at the impact of this on the greater community.
Just so we can clarify Aintu's position on this, you don't have any difficulty with the general practice of wearing masks, I'm sure, in society.
I have no problem with the wearing of masks in society if people want to wear them, but I don't think it needs to be mandatory to the extent that the government is pushing at the moment. But for common sense, when the government was telling us not to wear masks, I was personally here in Donegal having masks made and sent out to the nursing homes that have been totally neglected. And we are also in Aintu calling for an inquiry into what's happened in our nursing homes, where the greatest capacity, the greatest death, the greatest rise in COVID has been in the hospital setting and in the nursing homes. And the government are ignoring that fact and deflecting from it. And I would be very concerned that we're still not doing enough there. Antigen tests should have been introduced. Where are the filtration systems for the schools? You know, if we had real concern about our children, we need to close the windows and get in the proper filtration systems. The parents here in Donegal are telling me, and I'm sure it's the same in Sligo, the children in primary school are foundered coming in from school. Absolutely foundered. And some teachers are refusing to allow them to wear their coats. Now, listen to me. We need to get realistic here. If the children are so cold they want to put on the coat in the classroom because the doors and windows are open, what is the harm in a child putting on their coat? Where's the common sense gone? It depends on the teacher. Most teachers, I'm sure, will have common sense, but it's not across the board. You know?
Right, okay. Mary T. Sweeney, lots of reaction to that, both for and against. Thanks for joining us. Mary T. Sweeney of Aintu in Donegal. And as I said this morning, the Department of Education has revised its rules for mask wearing amongst primary school children. In updated advice, it now says children should not be excluded from school in the first instance, and the principal should engage pragmatically and sensitively with parents who object to their child wearing a mask in class. This listener says, my child is afraid of enclosed spaces and feels too restricted with the mask. The parent who rang in cannot send her child to school now because it's too traumatic for him. He's 10 years old and the parent cannot get the GP to give a letter to excuse him from wearing a mask. He says that the child will have to get used to wearing it. the GP says. Someone else rang in saying their child has a stutter and wearing a mask will not help her with her progression. It is difficult enough for her without the wearing of a mask, says this person. But as opposed to that, this person says, oh my God, please, please do not give those who just don't want to see an end to the pandemic pluck the few small studies and give them airtime. Children in the USA wear masks from 2 years old upwards, and the likes of your interviewee is causing division this morning. The masks, not suitable for the under 13s, is this person. Wake up, parents, teachers and listeners. Children vaccines are already purchased. It is so wrong what is happening, and inhuman as well. I don't know if our next guest will go that far, but he is a teacher, a primary school teacher. Bara de Rochta is on the line. He's a member of the Irish Education Alliance. And I think, and I could be wrong here, Bara, I think you were involved in that demonstration on Friday against children wearing face masks. I think you were involved, Danny, maybe not, or your organisation were. But you don't think it's right at all.
Thanks very much for having us on. Demonstrations is a harsh, maybe all the different words we get for these protests.
And
a gathering, we like to call them a gathering, like a peaceful gathering. But yeah, I suppose we are demonstrating our concerns, certainly around the masking of children in primary schools. And yes, I was there, yeah. I certainly was.
So why not? And you have obviously direct experience of this in the classroom. What's so terribly wrong with children wearing face masks in the midst of a pandemic?
Okay, right. Well, there was a lot here, Niall. Well, first of all, let's go back to the basics, where this came from. Three times this year, they've tried to look at the NEFID, and the government have looked at reducing the age down to primary school children, okay? And on three occasions, HICWA have come back and recommended against it, okay? So they did a risk-benefit analysis on it, okay? Three times. Mm. The most recent one, the 20th of September. Now, on this occasion, HICWA were bypassed. So Tony Houlihan bypassed them and went straight to government with this proposal and advised them that that they should reduce the age. Now, that raised an awful lot of concerns. He obviously didn't like the answer he was getting. The risk-benefit analysis didn't mean anything to him whatsoever.
Yeah, well, you don't know that for certain. You don't know what went on
you don't know for certain, but I mean, anyone with, anyone with half a brain will work out. If somebody says no three times, you don't like the answer and you go behind their back, you know, he wasn't happy with it. It's as simple as that, and he's trying to get his own way in it. But you're right. Let's forget about that then for a minute. INTO have been calling for this for a long time as well. And we'd contacted, when I say we, it'd be parents, be teachers, the Irish Education Alliance, calling on John Boyle, the General Secretary of INTO, to show proof as to who has been calling for this. The INTO represents primary school teachers. And any of the teachers I know, and that means the ones I work with, in other schools, and I'm sure there's one or two who probably were calling for this, but nobody was asking the INTO to represent them and to seek the masking of children. So we made several requests to them to ask them to prove, to show proof of who has been calling for this. So again, they're also, I believe, in my opinion, they're on a solo mission as well.
Okay, is it your opinion, so does the majority of teachers, do you feel, are against this move?
Absolutely. The majority of teachers are against it, yes. Absolutely. So just because they're going along with it doesn't mean they're not against it. You know, now that's another separate argument again. Right. I mean, I'd like to address those people who are against it, but who aren't actually doing anything about it. You know, but look, can I just say something, though, very importantly, what my main point I want to get across here, Niall, is this is a child protection issue. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is a child protection issue. And I'm going to give you a little refer to some research here.
But wearing masks is protecting a child, is it not, first and foremost?
Well, according to the research, no, it's not, okay?
What research? Yourself have carried out some research. So what research points to the fact that it's not the best thing to do?
All right, then. Well, there's a research done. For your listeners, let me just explain what a meta-analysis is, okay? So a meta-analysis has been done, and very briefly, basically what it is, it's the creme de la creme of research. So it's when a number of researchers come together to evaluate and review all of the literature around a specified area. So in this case, the wearing of masks, okay? So this is wearing masks for adults and children as well, but I'm only interested in the children because adults can make up their own minds. And then what they do is they come to a general conclusion on it, okay? So they take everything, okay? from all now there's 65 publications reviewed for this, okay? There isn't a whole lot of research around masking in general anyway, but 65 publications, that's a lot, really, when you think about it, even though they say there's very little. So let me get, I'm going straight to the conclusion section, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm really asking people to listen to this very, very carefully. And I can leave my email address with you afterwards, Niall, and you can give it to whoever you want. If you want me to send it on to them, I'll gladly send it on. Right, so very quickly, so what happens when you wear a mask? Okay, you increase in blood carbon dioxide, breathing resistance increases, decrease in blood oxygen saturation, increase in heart rate, increase in blood pressure, decrease in cardiopulmonary capacity, increase in respiratory rate, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, headache, dizziness, skin impairments, all of these things. Okay, there's more. Okay, now let's put a bit of balance on it, okay? It does also say that some of the things that I've mentioned there, so for example, the increase in blood carbon dioxide, right, increase in heart rate and increase in respiratory rate, they do increase, but they don't reach dangerous levels. Okay, so let's put a bit of balance on that. But here is the most damning part of it. Okay, what they're saying is while they don't reach dangerous levels of in terms of increase, it's their reoccurrence. Their persistent reoccurrence, so i.e. wearing a mask every day or for a certain amount of hours every day, leads to long-term generation.
All right. Okay.
Now,
well,
this is where, let me finish this one. This is where the damage is being done. So long-term generation of high blood pressure, atherosclerosis and coronary heart disease and of neurological diseases is scientifically obvious. This is what they say. Scientifically obvious.
Okay, well, just to pick up on the damage being done and the health impacts. I mean, I'm trying to think of the exact phrase that Micheál Martin used last week. Did he say COVID was out of control in our schools among school children? So, I mean, there's a danger to them if we don't act. There's a danger to their families and their elderly relatives. So this has been done for all the best reasons, is it not, Barra?
All right. Well, as I said, now risk assessment hasn't been done in any schools. No school has a risk assessment. PIC we've done risk assessments, and it was denied three times. Okay, so you're right to refer to like a risk benefit analysis. Okay, so we all know, okay, what COVID does or does not do to children. We know what children's risk is with COVID. Now, COVID and its effects on children is what's termed subclinical, right? What that means, these are my words. These are the experts' words. We're always told, let's listen to the experts. It's subclinical, which basically means there's not enough data on it to actually have, you know, to be of any relevance. Now, we all know that anyway. Children don't get sick from it. Listen, I'm sure there are children. I'm sure people know somebody has. But in general, the data is negligible. It's just not there. Mm. Okay? Now, we know, though, from this research here, the dangers of the masks. And there's also other research I'll say very quickly in a minute as well, that it's dangerous to children's health. So there's your risk benefit analysis.
Yeah, okay, but we know if any parents have concerns, and we've covered this already this morning, they can go to their GP, they can get exemptions for their children wearing masks. What about the update this morning issued by the Department of Education revising its rules, saying that, you know, nobody will be excluded from school in the first instance if they're not wearing masks? Do you welcome that or not?
Very quickly, I'm going to just say, I'll address that now in a second, but you brought up something there about exemptions, okay? Doctors are not giving out exemptions very, very easily at all. So if you go to your doctor and tell them, look, my child is extremely stressed. That's the way it should be, Barra.
That's the way it should be.
No. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll bring you to another researcher, Dr. Marguerite Gries-Brisson, okay? She's one of Europe's leading consulting neurologists based in Harley Street in London, actually. She's a neurologist, a neurophysiologist, and this woman has a CV to put anyone in effort to shame, that's for sure. She's also a medical legal expert for five different countries around the world, including Britain, America, Germany. Okay. Now, as she came out, she has actually said there's no unfounded medical exemption for masks. Why? Because oxygen deprivation is dangerous for everyone. For everyone, Niall.
Everybody should be exempted. Is that what you're saying?
So basically, she said, everyone should be exempt. Nobody should have to seek an exemption because oxygen deprivation, and when we use the word oxygen deprivation, Niall, we don't mean that somebody's standing on your chest and covering your mouth. It means you're not getting the amount of oxygen into your body.
The question asked you about the department's clarification on this and their updated statement.
Well, first of all, look, I mean, I welcome anything that comes along in terms of easing of it. But so But it doesn't go far enough. It does refer to, I think it's very grey. And you've got to remember as well, this is based, I think, on an FAQs basis, you know, frequently asked questions sort of basis. This has come out on, I believe. I only got to see it very, very quickly, but it did mention words like, you know, in the first instance, children will be allowed into schools. In the first instance. So what does that mean? They will be let in, but then, you know, by tomorrow or during the week, they'll be sent home. We don't know. They say the support. They also, if there's any, you know, I do like some of the terminology. Softly is the word used there. We deal with it softly and sensitively. Absolutely, and I welcome that. And they said, then, you know, we could refer then, bring the inspectorate in and to provide support. You know, so it's all very grey, but it does not go far enough.
All right,
this is a child protection issue, Niall, and I need to get that across.